All right, so next is our impacts on wetlands. Historically, losses of wetlands and how we've, different ways we've gone about destroying wetlands historically and even currently. And okay, so we'll get started and we'll break this lecture in over lunch, but I thought we'd first start off with just giving you a feel for the main concentration of wetlands within North America, where they're located, and then that'll be pertinent with respect to talking about how many wetlands we've lost within Canada and the United States. So you can see their major wetland areas are outlined here in black, and then areas with abundant wetlands. So lots of wetlands as you get up towards the Arctic Circle, get up in the tundra region. This is all swampy wetlands, okay? Those tamarack swamps and boggy areas and et cetera. So 30% of the world's wetlands are located within North America. And the majority of those are found up in what I call the peatlands of Alaska and Canada. And we'll talk about what a peatland is here in just a little bit. There's also a large concentration of wetlands in the Hudson Bay and James Bay area of Canada. And those are that's an important area for, especially for breeding area for geese and for shorebirds. The prairie pothole region, which we'll talk about later on in a little more detail, is this region in the central United States, going up through the Dakotas and up into central Canada. This is where the glaciers came down and carved out literally thousands upon thousands of wetlands, depressional wetlands in this area, and it's the primary area where waterfowl in the country breed, and most of our birds that we shoot come from this region. I'll bring a handout probably tomorrow that shows band recovers in the state of Tennessee, and most of those birds are being produced right up in this area, the prairie pothole region. We have Great Lakes wetlands around Michigan and up through the St. Lawrence Seaway. There are pretty important breeding sites for birds. Coastal wetlands down the Atlantic coast. We have the Everglades. You have Gulf coastal wetlands and the Mississippi Alluvial Valley, which was once a vast bottomland. The Playa Lakes region that I've referred to a couple times, that are depressional wetlands. These are wind-form wetlands, not glacier-form wetlands, wind-form wetlands that are very circular and usually much shallower in depth than the prairie potholes. And then the Sacramento Valley is an area of a high concentration of wetlands, at least what remains. A lot of those have been drained and removed for agriculture. Pre-settlement in the lower United States, and we'll talk mostly about the lower U.S. because that's where most of our wetlands have been lost, but pre-settlement was around 90 million hectares of wetlands in the lower 48. All right, what are our current wetland estimates? Wetlands comprise around 3.5% of the area in the United States. The lower 48, we had 89 million wetlands pre-European settlement, and we're at about 42, million hectares of wetlands, and we are down to around 42 million hectares of wetlands. That represents a 53% loss, and we're pretty much hanging right around that level right now, although we're still losing some wetlands because of some of the wetland legislation that we talked about. there are a lot of wetlands out there that are no longer federally protected. Alaska has around 69 million hectares of wetlands, and they really haven't lost very many of those. And so in total, we have around 110 million hectares of wetlands. Canada, 14% of the surface area of Canada is wetlands. They have around 127 million hectares. And there haven't been really good estimates of wetland losses within Canada, except for some areas. In Manitoba and Ontario, they've lost 51 million hectares of wetlands, and that's where a lot of the loss has occurred. They have pretty good estimates. So in total, there's around 240 million hectares of wetlands within North America, which again represents what I say about 30% of the wetlands in the world. Okay, this kind of gives you, these pie charts gives you an illustration of the magnitude of wetland loss from pre-settlement to now. And if we look at pre-settlement acreages in North America, you know, around half in Canada, a quarter in Alaska, and a third in the lower U.S. Post-settlement, that changes to 53% in Canada, 30% in Alaska, and 20% in the, or 18% in the lower U.S. And again, this increase in the pie has been, in these slices of the pie, has been primarily due to huge losses in the lower United, lower 48. Okay, so it isn't that Canada has gained wetlands, but from a total continental standpoint, they now represent the majority of wetlands in North America. Any questions with that? Is Canada's policy? You know, that's a good question. I really don't know what the laws are in Canada. And I'm guessing overall there's just less wetlands lost because less of those lands are developed. Many of them can't be developed because a large percentage of those wetlands are up in the peatland area that you can't even get a tractor on, and very short growing season, etc. Again, in areas that are like Manitoba, southern Manitoba, and southern Ontario, they've lost as many wetlands as we have. I'm not sure what their laws are as far as protection. Canada has fewer people too. Well, no, for the most part, that is correct. I mean, the growing season wouldn't be long enough for them to fill in. There's not very many people in a lot of those more northern latitudes, but certainly in southern Manitoba and in Ontario, those are pretty high agriculturally intensive areas. Southern Saskatchewan is too. But I think overall, you're right. I mean, there's less crops on the ground, there's less people, there's less production, and there's more land if they wanted to farm. So for the farmers that are out there, they're not, you know, having to go into bottomlands and drain them. So how many are man-made out of 3.5%? Probably not very many. I mean that's a good question. I don't know. That statistic doesn't exist. And that is, if you read the most recent report, and they break it down into different classes, we have seen an increase in the number of palustrine unconsolidated bottom wetlands. And what that is related to is farm ponds. and you know, maybe shallow like reservoirs. I mean, it's pretty amazing. We don't have any estimates, but I have an interest. I would like to estimate the number of farm ponds we have in Tennessee, because it's thousands upon thousands. I mean, I would guess, honestly, I bet there's 50 to 100,000 dang farm ponds out there. There are a lot. And, you know, that can be a pretty significant wetland component. A lot of those are deep. They're not great wildlife habitat. They're not very good. They're not managed. They're probably not very good at all for ducks or shorebirds. Maybe, you know, some of the larger wading birds. They can be, you know, potentially significant amphibian habitat, depending on how much shoreline vegetation they have established and how many fish are present. But we have a lot of farm ponds. We're sampling farm ponds right now for amphibians, and man, there are a ton. The landscape is dotted with them. Okay. So, current acreage of wetland types in the United States. If we look at, we break down just generally the different wetland types. Here's our 111 million that we were talking about, 111 million hectares. First of all, note that here we have coastal wetlands, and then we have inland wetlands, and you can certainly see that first thing to notice is that there's a lot more inland wetlands than there are coastal wetlands. Of the coastal wetlands, the majority of them are, again, they're classified here as tidal salt marshes. These are estuarine wetlands. And then you do have a few mangrove wetlands in Florida and parts of Texas. As far as wetlands, acreage of wetlands, you can see peatlands is the greatest. Now, that obviously might surprise you, but this is mostly Alaska, although there are some peatlands in northern Minnesota, northern Michigan, northern Wisconsin, and parts of northern New York. But the majority of that acreage is all up in Alaska. If we look at the lower 48, so let's kind of look at the lower 48 versus Alaska to kind of get a little bit better perspective. Peatlands, again, very small amount that is in the lower 48. The majority of wetlands in the lower 48 are forested wetlands, followed by emergent marshes. Okay, so that's an important thing to remember, and a lot of those forested wetlands are located within the southeastern United States. So peatlands, yes, they are the most common wetland type within the United States, all of our states, but in the lower 48, it's swamps. So make sure that you're clear with that. I'll certainly have a question on that. So the U.S. wetlands are dominated by peatlands, but that's influenced by Alaska. There are some in Minnesota through Michigan, northern Minnesota through northern Michigan. Forested wetlands are the most common in the lower 48, and a lot of those are located within the southeastern United States. If we break apart our marshes, and I think one of the handouts has all of these tables, I believe. Is that right? That I just gave you? I don't think I brought a copy over myself. Oh, yeah, I did. It's right here. Yeah. Oh, no, those are wetland losses. Never mind. We'll talk about those in a second. If we look at our marshes, again, the majority are right here. There are the estuarine salt marshes, a few freshwater tidal marshes. So this would be, you know, emergent wetlands that are persistent or non-persistent that are influenced by the tide, but they're palustrine. Okay, the salinity is less than 0.5 parts per thousand. Again, a few mangroves. So that's the majority. Now, if we look at where those are located, the majority are located where? Gulf of Mexico, right there. Yep. Majority of estuarine wetlands are in the Gulf of Mexico, and a big percentage of those are located in Louisiana. And we'll talk about coastal wetland losses in Louisiana, which are really occurring at an alarming rate from a variety of contributing factors. So estuarine wetlands are the most common, coastal wetland, Gulf of Mexico, and a lot of that is driven by Louisiana. Most of the state is a good portion of the state's a swamp. Okay, so what are peatlands? I just thought I'd give you a quick little overview of what a peatland is, because that's not something that most of us have talked about or seen. Again, we're talking mostly the peatlands. This is the distribution of peatlands, which is northern Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. There are some that are up here in northern New York, but going mostly all the way up through along Hudson, James Bay and Hudson Bay, up into Alaska. All right. They are characterized by areas where precipitation exceeds evaporation by 25 to 50%. So you have very saturated situations. These are not heavy rain areas. It's just temperature is lower, so evaporation is much less. Okay? And consequently, you have very saturated situations. What happens when you have saturated situations? What happens with respect to decomposition? It goes down. It slows down. Again, we're going from aerobic to anaerobic respiration. Anaerobes are not very effective at breaking down. They're very slow at breaking down, and they're not as diverse of a fauna as microbes that rely on aerobic respiration. So you tend to have detritus that accumulates, and so accumulation of litter fall from plants, etc., is greater than decomposition in these very wet, saturated areas. And that accumulation of organic matter forms what is called peat, which is dead, decaying organic matter. And it can be pretty darn significant. There are two types of peatlands. There are fens and there are bogs. Fens are dominated by sedges and tamarack. Bogs are dominated by moss and spruce, for the most part. Sedges tend to be more basic. Fens tend to be more basic, and bogs tend to be more acidic. Fens are considered and classified, are called discharge wetlands, whereas bogs are called or classified as recharge wetlands. All right. A recharge wetland is a wetland this is a cross section, y'all. a wetland where there is no direct contact with the water table. So the only connection that occurs really from a hydrologic standpoint is water percolating through the soil from the wetland to the water table. It's not going the other direction. And this is recharge. And the reason it's called recharge is because the groundwater table is becoming recharged from the wetland. Okay? So the groundwater table becomes recharged. That's called groundwater recharge. A discharge wetland is one where it is very close to the surface, or to the bottom of the wetland. And usually, and even the hydrology within the wetland can be influenced by the water table. Okay? So often the water table loses water to the wetland. And consequently, it's called a discharge wetland because the water table is losing water. Okay? That's a discharge wetland. So fens tend to be, the water table is close, and their hydrology is influenced by the water table, but the water table is not close. Now, fens, wetlands, peatlands start off as fens, and over millions of years, they become bogs, because what happens is you have, imagine we're in this situation, you have an accumulation of detritus, plant litter that keeps falling in, it's highly saturated, and it keeps filling in, and essentially the wetland gets higher and higher through this accumulation process to the point where it is no longer connected with the water table. Okay? Is that clear? Now, not all recharge wetlands are peatlands, okay? That we have plenty of recharge wetlands that exist that don't go through this process. It's just that the groundwater is farther away from the surface. In fact, a lot of wetlands are recharge wetlands. There is a connection, no direct connection with the water table. But in this area, in these northern climates, the water table is very close, it's very saturated, but over time, again, you have this accumulation of organic matter. So I've got an illustration here. Now, this is from Ireland or something, I think, little animation, but you'll get the point. It'll say something on the bottom about a long time ago in Ireland, there were glaciers. Anyways, let's take a look here. 12,000 years ago in northern Michigan was covered with ice and snow. The ice melted away, and as the climate became warmer, the water from the melted ice formed lakes in low-lying areas. Plants grew around the edges of the lakes, and when they died, they sank and accumulated at the bottom of the lake. And after hundreds of years, the dead plants, peat, had filled the entire lake and something else. All right, then sphagnum moss and other things colonized as the surface of the fen increased in height. And then finally, years later, trees established and fell over, and really you had this accumulation and it became classified as a bog. and it can become very high and become a called what's called a raised bog. So that's kind of a little illustration of that process. I know. Okay. Any questions with that, y'all? Yeah.
So in like a sinkhole that fills up with water periodically, would that be considered a discharge?
It's probably a discharge well in a sinkhole, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can certainly, when it rains and stuff, you can have stuff flowing in, but if it's hydrology, that's the key. A sinkhole that is connected, which is often the case, to the groundwater, and it'll fill up just based on groundwater seeping in, then it's a discharge well. All right, so let's talk about our wetlands, right? What about the state of Tennessee? Approximately 3% of our land area is wetlands, so we're a little bit below the national average of 3.5%. And across the globe, I don't know if I've mentioned that yet, from a global perspective, wetlands cover 4% of the world's surface. All right. There's around 27 million acres within Tennessee, within our whole state. So we have right around 800,000 acres of wetlands. And or 316,000 hectares. And with respect to the lower 48, that is equivalent to just about 1%. So 1% of the wetlands within the lower 48 are located within Tennessee. So we're not a big wetland state, obviously, because we're relatively mountainous. And most of our wetlands, which we'll talk about in a second, are located in West Tennessee. All right, so we have around 3% or so. This is some information that I can't remember where I got it, but you can see this has all of our land uses. We're mostly forested. We have a fair amount of farm land, which includes pastures, et cetera, as well as cultivated land. And then we have, really, this is a pretty accurate saying that we have about 2.5% wetlands based on this classification, because there is a portion of these rivers that really are wetlands and a portion of these lakes that really are wetlands. So that comes up to around our 3% of our area. So what I want to impress on you, though, is that if we take just the surface area that is out there, the water surface area, and we look at within our state, just with respect to water surface area, wetlands comprise the majority of the water surface area that's out there, followed by lakes and then rivers. Of course, we have lots of rivers, but surface area-wise, they're not very, very much. So, yes, wetlands are important in the state, and they are important to the wildlife here and to the functioning of our ecosystems, both the terrestrial systems and the aquatic systems, and we'll talk about some of those values in the next lecture. Okay, so the majority of our wetlands we have in the state are broad-leaved and needle-leaved deciduous, so they're forested wetlands. And when we talk about wetland losses in a second, which we're transitioning into, I'll talk about really kind of the distribution of wetlands in the state and where we've lost most of our wetlands. Any questions? All right. So, kind of from a national perspective, wetlands have been considered a barrier to American progress. I would guess that I would say that from a historical perspective, but they're still considered that for a large percentage of our society. Think that they're just in the way, that it would be better if we had filled those in and had a housing development or some type of Home Depot or whatever. So 47 million hectares of wetlands have been lost in the conterminous United States, the lower 48. That is four times the size of Tennessee, just to make an impression. Most of our wetlands were, a lot of wetlands were destroyed underneath of the Swamp Land Acts of the 1800s, which encouraged the removal of wetlands and swamplands. And these acts, what these acts did is many of the wetlands that existed in the states, a lot of the wetlands were owned on federal land, and the feds sold these areas to the states. The states then sold those wetlands then to the landowners of the state, who then, there were no regulations at that time, then basically destroyed the wetlands. Went in there, cut many of them over as far as bottom lands, and then began draining many of those later on as technology, as we became more capable of digging and draining wetlands. another group of programs, USDA Agricultural Conservation Program. And we have our conservation programs now underneath of NRCS, like CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, the Wetlands Reserve Program. This was something different. The USDA Agriculture Conservation Program of the 40s and the 70s actually paid landowners, farmers, to go out and drain wet farmland. And so we lost around 23 million hectares associated just with this one program. I guess I have 26 million hectares up here with the Swamp Lands Act has been estimated. So these were areas that were relatively unfarmable, and it gave farmers subsidies to go out and actually drain wetlands. Okay. So there has been this sinister image of wetlands in our country, and going all the way back to the fictitious creation of the swamp thing, and but it's real. Here's a sign that would be very commonly seen in, especially prior to the Clean Water Act, is coming soon, Beltway Interchange, going soon, wetlands, big old cross symbol there. Louisiana's governor is known for quoting, "The 1.6 million acres of cutover cypress swamps in Louisiana," because what they did is they went into these swamps first, all these bottomlands, they just cut them over. They cut out, took all the timber, they pulled it all out, and then they just left them as these deforested cypress sloughs. Must be put into their true function, agriculture. It is important to Louisiana, the South, and the nation as a whole. So this has been the mentality for a long time, and I don't know if we've really changed a whole lot. Again, a lot of legislation has, there's been a lot of Supreme Court decisions lately that has reduced the protection of wetlands. So after things were cut over, then the goal was is go in and drain these areas and put them into agriculture, which happened for many, many wetlands throughout throughout the United States. So all right, what about our state? These are state wetland losses across all the states, and that does come back to this handout here that has all the states. These are just basically, this map is a pictorial representation of the numbers that you see. And so one dot equals 20,000 acres of wetlands. So where have most of the wetlands been lost? Yeah, the MAV, Mississippi Alluvial Valley area, Lots of wetlands. Where else? Yeah, some along the East Coast and Florida. How about this region here? The breadbasket region of the United States, where a lot of our agriculture occurs, and also a lot of wetlands. Again, the glaciers came down and carved out wetlands. And again, this is the prairie pothole region, goes all the way through here on up, well, starting about right in here, on up, and lots of wetlands lost, lots of wetlands. So let's look at, talk about some of the states and who has lost the most. This is from not a total amount standpoint, but from a percentage standpoint. So if you had 10 wetlands and you destroyed 9 of those wetlands, you've lost 90% of your wetlands. So the states with the highest percent loss is Arkansas and California. Now you look out in California, like, well, heck, there aren't very many dots out there, but they certainly have less wetlands than, for example, Louisiana or Florida and many of the other states up here. There's a variety of other states here. In fact, Kentucky's lost 81% of their wetlands. But again, they didn't have a whole lot. So the most, as far as total, is Florida, 3.6 million hectares, Louisiana, 3 million hectares, Illinois, which is, you can just see, is almost completely red, 2.8 million hectares. Illinois has lost 85% of their wetlands. Iowa has lost 90% of their wetlands. See a lot of these states right up in here. Indiana, 87% of their wetlands. Okay, I mean, that's a lot, y'all. That's a lot. All right. Well, yeah, so what about mitigated wetlands? What about conservation programs? It appears that, well, the most recent estimates suggest that wetland losses have stabilized, because one explanation is conservation programs have helped recently. Since the Farm Bill. But Wetland Reserve Program wasn't initiated until 1992 and really didn't get rolling until the mid-90s.
But
do
those numbers include?
Mm-hmm. They do. The most current estimates, yes, they include the restoration, but from a widespread perspective, those efforts are relatively small, okay, compared to what has been lost and the deficit that exists. The other thing is that many wetlands are still being destroyed, and they can be destroyed legally. So even though there are conservation programs that are helping protect wetlands, and in areas that are federally controlled, or wetlands that are under federal jurisdiction, or that there are state laws and there has to be mitigation, there is mitigation that goes on. But wetlands are still being lost, and we're probably still, there's a lot of question about the most recent report of whether, because it showed a slight positive increase. And folks have suggested, especially folks in legislation like George Bush, suggests that, oh yeah, we're doing great things for wetlands. But there's some question with respect to how those numbers were actually quantified and the accuracy of those numbers. And so personally, I don't know if we've stabilized, because it's been a decreasing trend for as long as they've been recording wetlands across the country. Some of that increase is a response to having more farm ponds. not necessarily functioning, really highly functioning wetlands. So it's the types of wetlands that are out there that are still questionable with respect to the slow of that, the slow of the rate in decline. I don't think our, if my perspective is, my opinion is that we're not in a good situation with respect to wetlands. I mean, wetlands are wide open to be destroyed at this point. And because of, again, decisions within the last five years. Okay. So Mississippi Alluvial Valley, why don't we go ahead, and I think we're about at noon, aren't we? Yeah, so we'll take a break at this point, and we will start up or continue up afterwards.